now. We're joined by senior writer for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB, Jenny Ventures. Jenny, great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And you have a whole crew out here. I saw Emily Kaplan here. You got Albert Breer here. You guys bring the heat for the combine, huh?
We're well staffed. That is very true.
All right, let's get into it. You've been listening to coaches and GMs all day at the podiums that are really right behind our stage here. What's the feel right now as the league year begins in a little bit, as guys get franchised? Do you expect anything else to happen for the remainder of the day in terms of guys getting franchised with that deadline, I believe, at 4 o'clock this afternoon?
Yeah, it seems like most of the situations are settled.
Yeah.
You know, the Browns seem like they're, you know, not going to – do that with Terrell Pryor, and they'll just move forward and try to figure out if they have him, they have him, and if not, they don't. And so it seems like most of those situations are settled as of now.
Are you surprised that the Browns, given all their salary cap, and look, they're not going to be able to spend all that money this year if they tried.
Right,
are you surprised
right.
just to maintain Pryor for a year, they didn't decide to throw the tag on him?
A little surprised, but they must feel like they can still be able to keep him with a long-term deal, so...
How many of these deals and these franchise tags do you think will eventually wind up in long-term deals, and what guys do you think might end up playing on their tags?
Yeah, it's a good question, because every year, you know, the ideal situation in most teams is to sign them to a long-term deal and not have the year, you know, the salary cap hit. I mean, I think Jason Pierre-Paul is one of the more interesting ones because, you know, maybe they just have him play on the tag. I mean, I think that's a possibility. Now, certainly, you know, the three previous times the Giants have tagged a player, we know two of them led to long-term deals, and the third would have had Pierre-Paul not had the fireworks accident. So, but, you know, do you have the space, you know, do you have the space long-term to sign to a deal like Olivier Vernon, or do you just have him for 1 year and kind of figure that makes more sense with the risk reward with injuries and age and everything to play on the 1 year tag? So I think that's probably one of the more interesting situations.
Yeah, and I imagine both JPP and the Giants would want to try to get something done as soon as possible to get that cap number down so they have more flexibility next Wednesday.
Right, because right now it's taking up around 50% of the available cap space, I think. So, you know, it would make sense to try to get something done, but, you know. And obviously Pierre-Paul has said that he didn't want to be playing under the tag this year. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens. And obviously both sides would like to work that out. But, of course, it takes two to tangle, and you have to figure out an agreement that works. This free agent market, last year we saw it come out, and it came fast, it came furious, and the dollars were flying. Do you think it's going to be similar this year, or do you think it's going to be a little bit slower?
I think it might be a little slower. I mean, I think one thing is with the quarterback situations – Brock Osweiler's contract last year, I think, will give some general managers pause. You know, you dole out all this money and the quarterback doesn't work out. So does that kind of temper the quarterback market this year? It's possible. But then again, teams get desperate. They don't have another solution at that position. So, you know, now there's reports that Jimmy Garoppolo would not be traded for any price. So that does that drive up, you know, the markets of other guys? You know, it's a good question, but I think, you know, certainly Osweiler is a cautionary tale that's going to be on the minds. Do you devote all this money to a guy that has a limited reel of experience and you're not exactly sure by the time free agency opens, you know, do you have a deal in place with a guy that, you know, you don't know is going to be the answer just because you need something beyond what you currently have? I think it's going to be tough for a lot of teams.
And Peter King from MMQB had a great article last week about Tony Romo and what the Cowboys might decide to do with him.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to find a trade partner? To me, the inevitable result of all this is going to be him getting released, and he's going to end up picking the place where he's going to go.
I agree, and I think that makes the most sense just if you look at the situation overall and his relationship with Jerry Jones. And, you know, I think ultimately he is released. You know, if they were able to find a trade partner, I think it's possible they could, but, you know.
The cap, it just makes it so tough, right?
It does, but then again, I mean, it's not really that out of whack with what quarterbacks are getting paid. So
sure.
If you know, if you need one and you have a chance to get Romo for a couple of years, you know, I don't know that it's prohibitive, but I still think it ends up with him being released and picking where he wants to go.
What do you think his preferred landing spots would be? And I think the two that have been mentioned, and they do make sense, Houston, Denver.
Right. And certainly Vance Joseph's comments this morning about
what did he say? I didn't hear it.
He just kind of, you know, he said he didn't want to talk. There's no one that he could talk about because he doesn't want to talk about players in other rosters, which is sort of like, is he hinting at, you know.
That's code. Yeah.
Is that code for, you know, we'd be interested in Romo? I mean, certainly we've seen the Broncos do this before with the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. You know, they had Tim Tebow. They go to the playoffs, and then Elway lands Peyton Manning. So, you know, are they comfortable with Simeon and Paxton Lynch? I'm not so sure that they are because, you know, I think they feel like they've got this defense that can win championships, and they need more at the position. So, I certainly think they're a leading contender. I know the Texans have also been mentioned. I mean, those two situations seem to make a lot of sense.
And, of course, the happiest people in the world that Garoppolo might not get traded are probably the quarterbacks coming out in this draft, because it gives one fewer options for teams like the 49ers, teams like the Browns that need a quarterback to solve that issue before the draft gets here.
Right, and certainly, you know, at this point in time, you know, the report comes out today, and there's been speculation that the Patriots might try to hang on to him, but it's a pretty strong report from ESPN. You know, Adam Schefter saying that at no price will the Patriots trade Garoppolo.
So which is amazing when you think about how willing Bill Belichick is to trade good players for picks. I mean, he just traded Jamie Collins in a year where they went to the Super Bowl.
Right, and so he obviously thinks that the greatest value to them is, you know, keeping Garoppolo. Like, his greatest value is being on their roster in case something were to happen to Brady. Now, you know, if someone, I think they'll still listen to offers. I mean, they'd be silly not to. And certainly the Browns have a lot to give and could make an extremely strong offer if they felt like, which, you know, I believe they like Garoppolo. I believe they would even go double down on quarterbacks this offseason. You know, if they could trade for Garoppolo and draft someone high, I could see them doing that because that's how dire it is. You know, they feel like they have a good coaching staff. They feel like they have a plan in place. But none of that works if you don't have talent, especially at the most important position on the roster.
Last year, the Giants set the mark in a lot of ways with their early free agent signings on the defensive side of the ball. Who do you think are going to be the guys in free agency this year that get those big deals that you think will set the market moving forward for the rest of the group?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly, you know, the Browns have a ton of cap space, but, you know, I'm not sure exactly, you know, they've got to figure out the quarterback situation. That's the most important thing to them. But they certainly have a lot of money to spend. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of teams that have – this year there's teams that have as much cap space as there used to be, you know, your entire salary cap was. I mean, there are teams around $100 million cap space. Think about that. A few years ago, that was the entirety of almost of a team's salary cap. So there is a potential for big spending. But, again, like, I think, you know – big spending at the quarterback position might be tempered a little bit, or at least I think that that market might be slower to develop than it had been in past years. You know, maybe it takes a little bit more time. Maybe teams don't go all in on deals before they meet the players. Maybe they spend a little. I mean, I don't know if the market will bear that, but I think there are a lot of GMs that are more gun-shy.
What players do you think are going to be the most highly sought-after guys when we get to the free agency period next week?
Well, we have, you know, a lot of Dante Hightower is an interesting situation with New England. You know, he obviously made such a crucial play in the Super Bowl, and are they able to hang on to him? You know, obviously Adrian Peterson is certainly, he's later in his career. We're not talking like huge bucks here, but that's one of the more intriguing free agents out there just because, you know, do the Vikings end up making an offer? Most likely he probably goes somewhere else. I mean, him and Jamal Charles, I think they're both these backs that have been wildly productive in their career and now. And, you know, I think, but, you know, obviously, you know, and then Mike Glennon's another one in the quarterback category that would probably draw more interest if Garoppolo really is out of it.
How do teams view him? Because he's had so little time on the field, and ironically, his time on the field came when he was younger. Now he's gotten older. How much has he progressed, but he hasn't been on the field? How do teams view a guy like that?
Yeah, and I think that's
it's tough.
It's tough to assess someone like that because you think they might have the physical tools and you think they might have the, you know, all of the attributes. But we were, like, again, not to bring it up again.
Like,
but we're
Brock
saying
Osweiler.
That, like Brock Osweiler. Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a lot of mixed feelings, and I think it's hard to fall in love with a guy like that. But if it's better than options that you have, like if you're a team like the Jets, for instance, I mean – they could make a play for him because what are their options there?
How much do you think Alshon Jeffrey's injury history is going to scare teams away, or are people going to fall in love with the year he had 2 years ago in his 6'5 frame?
Yeah, he's probably one of the biggest names this year. I mean, he's going to get mega money because, you know, even though you see the injury history, you think he's still a unique talent, and a lot of teams are really craving, you know, they need that position in their offense to make it work. So I think he'll certainly get overpaid.
Offensive line class, and obviously that's something the Giants will be taking a very long look at, both in the draft and free agency. We know the draft class probably isn't all that strong. Free agency, Russell Okung got let go. He'll be around. Andre Whitworth is a pending free agent for the Bengals. How do you view this offensive line class, and how heavy do you think the bidding is going to be? Because, Jenny, as you know, finding good offensive linemen in this league is hard now. It's one of those positions that there just aren't a lot of really good players.
Yeah, and there are a lot of options in free agency, and I think, you know, all those guys that you mentioned are you know, they're going to command a big market because, you know, I always say that there's quarterback and edge rusher are the two most important positions, but then, you know, that the guy that matches up against the edge rusher is your left tackle. So, you know, I think there's a lot of teams that have a need there, and I think there's more teams that have a need than good linemen that are on the market.
Do you think the Giants will be able to find, at the very least, good competition for Eric Flowers at that left tackle spot before they get to the draft, so they're not sitting there with the big hole where they're saying, boy, we have to draft somebody here to maybe compete at left tackle?
I think they have to get something in free agency. They have to bring in competition. Sure, you could do that during the draft, but the miss rate for linemen high in the draft is pretty high. You know, my boss, Peter King, kind of detailed it in Monday's column, kind of comparing the quarterback miss rate at the top of the first round versus a lineman, and there's been, you could argue, more misses at linemen.
A higher percentage, absolutely.
Higher percentage misses because it's so hard to know. I mean, and is that because they're coming from these spread offenses maybe, or are teams not putting an emphasis on the most important attributes for the transition to the pro level, such as, you know, mental, like, acuity and how fast you process things? I'm not sure what it is, but there's been a lot of misses there. So I think you have to find another option in free agency.
How does the NFL view collegians coming out now? Because you watch an NFL game, you watch a college game. I'm not going to say they're different sports, but the way the approach of offenses are now is so different. Yeah. Are organizations finding it more and more difficult to evaluate some of these players coming out? Because in a lot of ways, they're asking them to do things that they were never asked to do on the college level, especially when it comes to positions like offensive line and tight end.
Yeah, it's a lot of the times it's way more of a projection than ever before. And I heard Steelers GM Kevin Colbert was saying, outside linebacker, for instance, that's a huge projection. And, you know, he said a lot of times they find themselves just ruling guys out as the process goes along because they say there's no way in a 3-4 system they can adequately play outside linebacker, or we just don't know that they can play. It's too much of a projection. So I think there's a lot of positions like that where it's a huge projection, and that's why we're seeing a lot of misses, you know, everywhere from, you know, it's unusual to get a quarterback or a lineman from a pro-ready offense.
Yeah, there aren't many Alabamas out there that are, you know, you got some Big Ten schools that do it. Wisconsin still runs some pro stuff. In general, a couple more before we say goodbye. Jenny Ventress, SI.com and MMQB. What's the general sense you get from front offices about this free agent class, the noise you're hearing, and some themes you think we're going to run into when the league year opens for business next week?
Well, I'm not sure, trying to think of what the themes would be. I mean, I think that there's certainly some guys that are going to get overpaid as we see every year. And I think because of the cap space is so big, it's the same thing we saw last year. There's going to be teams that are going to really have a need, and they're going to commit a lot of money at big positions. And I think there's, you know, a lot of guys who are kind of free right now that either they weren't tagged and they could have been tagged, or, you know, in teams that were hoping to work out deals with them. There's a lot of big name players that we just don't know exactly if they'll stay with the team that they're on, or after they were not tagged, or if they'll end up somewhere else.
Yeah, and I should ask you about one player that Giant fans hope don't wind up somewhere else, and that's Jonathan Hankins, who's going to hit free agency next week. What do you think the market's going to be like for him when free agency opens? Is he going to be one of the first guys that teams target?
I think, you know, he's probably going to be in the first few days, because I think, you know, players like that fit in a lot of defenses, but he really fits in the Giants defense, and so he was, you know, he's certainly important to what they want to do up front. So, you know, it's like, it's hard with those things, because you make a decision, you know, you have to hold on to Jason Pierre-Paul, so they franchise tag him, and then you can't hold on to every guy, so you kind of have to make tough decisions about prioritizing, but he's certainly someone that really is a key piece.
Jenny, great stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. You can check her work out on MMQB and SI.com.